Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. This show is about plant freedom, loosening the apron strings and out on your own. Well, on a serious note, the method by which seeds can move away from the female plant is called seed dispersal. So why is this so important? If a seedling germinates close to mommy plant, it will be lacking many limiting factors necessary for survival. First, sunlight. And the example I always give is this. If I'm speaking in a school, I'll be talking to some younger kids. I purposely select, and I'm a pretty big guy, I purposely select a much shorter student. I happen to be, and I say, hey, I am mommy plant. And the kids all giggle, and great, great, great. And then I extend my arms out being my branches, and all of a sudden the other student goes below my arms, and they are now, and I go, okay, so how much sunlight would you be getting? Well, none. So they get a picture in their minds. And you know what? I even have done this in advanced classes in high school without the giggling, the mommy plant thing. But they get the point about that. If you're getting no sunlight in your plant, well, then you are not living. Well, next, these two factors, they go together, water and nutrients. The adult plant has a complex root system with many root hairs. They are microscopic, and they are responsible for taking the water in. Well, the new plant obviously is going to get very little water. And because nutrients are taken up into the plant with water, this is preventing the young plant from getting what is necessary for it to grow. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Before I discuss the natural method of seed dispersal, I want to share with you one of the reasons why I was conducting research on non-native plant species on the sagebrush steppe in Idaho. Whew, that's a big, long title, but that's exactly what we were doing. So here's the go. Many years ago, in Montana, huge fire going on. So while the fire is raging, it burnt so much of the hay crop there. So as farmers typically do, farmers from other states willing to help out, and they were going to ship a lot of their hay from the Southwest all the way up into Montana to take care of them. Well, while the hay is on the trucks and they're being transported up the highways, obviously with some of the breeze going on, little bits of the hay gets blown out, and some of the seed got blown out as well. Well, here was the problem with that. There were non-native plant species mixed in with the hay. Example, one of them was downy brome. And they would come out, and now they were out-competing the native plants in states. And again, the trucks went through Idaho, and this is where I was doing research. And they were out-competing the native plants, and they were taking over literally hundreds of thousands of acres. And my research was how to successfully eradicate it without using chemicals, because, hey, that's the type of botanist. I'm an environmental scientist. One of my degrees is in botany, and that's really where my thoughts were in doing that. And one of the other crazy things about downy brome, if one of the seeds got in your hiking boot, because that's all I ever wore out there in a sagebrush step, if a seed got in there, it would actually embed itself in your boot and make a lump, and you couldn't get it out. And it really, your boot would hurt when it was on because of it. So every day you had to go downy brome seed hunting to make sure they didn't disperse into my boot. But now let's discuss how seeds have adapted to disperse. They have many cool names and methods. So the first one sounds silly, but it's gravity. So think about all the oak trees that have acorns. Well, what happens? The acorns, which are roundish, some are very round, but some are oblong, etc. But they're roundish, and they will actually roll away from mommy plant. How about hitchhikers? Seeds with burrs on them. And many of you know this because you've been out walking and all of a sudden you get something itchy stuck to your hiking pants, whatever, and you're going, hey, what the heck is it? And you pull it off. Well, it was probably a seed in a burr. And think about animals out in the wild. They're walking by and they got them stuck to their fur. And now they've walked the distance going, man, it's bothering me. Let me get, and they pick it off, whether it's with their paws or their teeth, and spit it out. And they have just dispersed the seed that way. An example of that one is burdock, because burdock has probably been stuck to all of our plants at one time or another. How about wind? We call them parachutes, these seeds. Think about this. Growing up, you pick these little yellow flowers. You brought them to your mommy and go, mommy, look, I picked you these flowers. Hopefully they weren't out of her flower garden. Many people pick dandelions. And then when the dandelions go to seed, a little kid will pick them up, and we used to call them wishies, and you'd wish on them, and you'd blow, and the seeds would disperse away. Naturally, the wind would do this, but you were doing it, and your neighbor who was trying to make this meticulous lawn was going, no, not the seeds, and they're diving to save the seeds, somewhere probably. And then, you know, it's amazing, and this, again, gets back to chemical. People will spray chemicals on their lawns to kill dandelions, which is a native lettuce, by the way, and many animals eat that lettuce. And this is before chemicals growing up. My Italian grandmother would be walking on all the neighbors' lawns, and she'd be cutting the dandelion leaves, and that would be in our salad. You know, so now with chemical, you just can't go near it unless you're in a, you know, a chemical-free zone, or you're on your own farm or whatever, and you know no chemicals being sprayed. But that's one thing. And again, that's just like a side dish to all of this. But that's one of the things. Another one of those wishy seeds, the parachutes, are milkweed. And milkweed has that association with monarch butterflies because they lay their eggs on the milkweed. So it's important to us. But the milkweed seeds, if you've ever seen them, when they disperse by the thousands, they are all over. Another type of seed is called a bursting seed. And the best example I can give you is jewelweed. And jewelweed, one word, is the plant itself is the natural antidote to poison ivy. So if you got poison ivy and you know you just touched it, you can break the fleshy stem of the jewelweed and rub it on you and you don't get it. And also jewelweed in the early part of the season, very tasty, very edible, sort of tastes like spinach. You saute it down a little bit. Well, when you're walking in a, we'll call it a, because it's in a wet area that jewelweed grows, you know, some type of, it doesn't have to be a bog, it could be any type of water system growing there. And it's almost like you're in a bowl of Rice Krispies, because as you hit the seeds, you hear, and they're just like popping, and they're popping and going a foot to 2 feet away. And while they're bursting these seeds, they're moving away from the female plant. But just a cool seed to have, and then again, a cool plant to have too. Well, water. What about floating seeds? In the estuaries, and estuaries are where the river meets the seas, are where mangrove trees grow. So their seeds happen to float. So when they hit the water, they will actually be carried away by the water. So you got floating seeds. What about helicopters? Now, I know that every single one of you listeners out there, when you were younger, you saw this little thing coming off the tree and it twirly gigged, and that's what we call them, all the way down. And you'd pick it up and you'd break it in half and you'd open it up and throw this little thing out and you'd stick it on your nose, and we would call them pug noses. And what you did is that was actually called the key, K-E-Y, the key to the seed, to the maple tree, and there was two seeds in that key, and they would helicopter away from the female plant. Well, now here's a really cool one. Birch tree seeds are contained in something called catkins, and the catkins drop off the plant in the wintertime because you get the hard, crusty snow, and when the wind blows, it blows the catkins, and they roll across the snow away from the female plant. Now, this next one, you got birds. Hey, birds love seeds. They're eating some seeds, or they're eating the fruits around some of the seeds. And the seeds that don't get digested while the bird is flying, he will let go of a little, you know what I'm talking about, bird scat. We sometimes call that one guano. And he's letting it go. And sometimes an undigested seed, and I describe it this way, you not only have a seed, but you have fertilizer with it going down. So it just got replanted somewhere else. Now, I always, and I've discussed this one. See, I got excited, so my words just got bumbled there a little bit. One of my favorite types are called serotonous cones. They are on specific pine trees, and once the pine cones fall, they only open after a forest fire. You need severe heat that will open up the cone, but the cone doesn't open during the fire. It's after the fire, so it repopulates the area that was just burnt. And two examples I give you on that one are lodgepole pines out in Yellowstone National Park. And I happen to have, because Yellowstone's like my summer playland, I was out there all the time. And yeah, I was out there after a major fire. And with the serotonous cones, with the lodgepole pines, they repopulated about 1 million acres of land that were out there. Utterly amazing what they did. And then you have pitch pines, which grow in pine barrens, and they have serotonous cones. And there's only a few pine barrens. They happen to be on the east coast of the U.S. And with only a few of these ecosystems in the world, well, the only way they're going to get repopulated is with those serotonous cones. And I always remember my professor, Dr. Brummer, saying, the way you remember pitch pines is needles, because all the needles in pine trees grow in a fascicle. They're a little bundle together. And she'd say, pitch pine, 3 strikes and you're out. And there was 3 needles in the pitch pine in the fascicle. So that's how I remember that. So I thought I'd share that. Like, sometimes I just give you some extra stuff going out there. Well, I always say that viewing nature is free. It is all so cool. So yes, my child seed, it is time for you to be free. Go disperse. Until next time. Enjoy life's adventure.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.